Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, as I think you know, I spent 25 years at the Lansing State Journal in the sports department there, and we did some pretty good work there, I thought, for the most part, but there was a period of time, maybe 3 or 4 years, where we were as good as any sports department in the country, and that wasn't my opinion. That was the opinion of many others from cities who would come to East Lansing or see us at Final Fours, and our sports editor in those days was Jerry Ahern, and we had Larry Lage there. We had a lot of people who had come through there and gone on to big things, and we've had a tremendous number of people starting a business, and one of them who was at the Lansing State Journal and has now moved on to some tremendous work, and that is Charles Robinson. He is the national NFL writer for Yahoo.com, and he is the guy who really cracked the Reggie Bush story. Very happy to have him with us. Hello, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jack. How are you doing?
Just fine. First of all, congratulations. It isn't often that the media gets a story like this and won't let go of it, and eventually, I guess, justice is done.
Yeah, it was, it was a long, it was a long 4 years from the, really the start of this back in April of 2006 until now. But obviously, as media members, you know how it is. I mean, we never really celebrate in something like this. But I think it speaks to what our, what our jobs are all about. I mean, I think we all got into this to, not just to write about sports and games and all these different things, but kind of expose truth and, get at the bone of things. And, I think we were able to do that with Reggie Bush, and, we'll see what the long-term impact is, going forward.
How much can you tell us about how this started? And, it usually starts with a tip, right?
Yeah. It started pretty innocently. Was at the Combine in Indianapolis in February of 2006 and happened to be talking to an assistant coach, an NFL assistant coach, just about, draftable prospects. And we got into this subject about, a lot of players, instead of going with full service agents, they were now dividing up. They had to have a marketing guy. They had to have a financial advisor. Right. They had to have a contract guy. And, he said, it's funny. And we started talking about Reggie Bush, and he said, yeah, there's something weird going on with Reggie Bush and maybe some marketing guys, and there's a problem. And, he was kind of vague, didn't have a lot of details, but he said it sounded like a controversy. And it wasn't until March of that year, I was at Vince Young's workout at the University of Texas, and I ran into a scout who usually, he's a West Coast scout, and he usually was tapped into a lot of different things. And, I mentioned it to him, and it was kind of innocent, and he knew a lot about it, and he just said, that's a really bad situation. Apparently Reggie was, taking money and gifts while he was at USC, and there's been a fallout, and now there's a big problem. And, I literally must have talked to him for a good 90 minutes, and leaving that conversation immediately, I knew, okay, I got something here. I got to start working on this. And it went from, really that workout in March, and it took us about a month to kind of put everything together and get to the point where we could actually print a story, and then from there it just kind of snowballed.
I think I understand some of the journalism that Yahoo does, and you'd be very proud of that too. But in terms of the amount of time you were able to devote to this, were you able to convince people, or were you told that, hey, this takes priority?
In terms of my bosses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate that I work with bosses who, it was funny, we had just started working on this. Dave Morgan, who is he used to be the deputy editor of the LA Times, had just joined our operation and was really running the ship. And, he had done, obviously the LA Times was, done its fair share of investigative work. And, so he knew immediately, that this was something that should take priority. And, so I was fortunate enough to have, a boss who was willing to really set aside the time for me, allow me to take, a lot of time off of my NFL duties to really work on it. And frankly, I will say this, I think I had an advantage over a lot of other reporters in that they were also willing to spend the money. And it was definitely a project that, you know, you had to travel a lot. You know, there were a lot of interviews that were not necessarily, you know, it wasn't always an interview situation. A lot of them were relationship building trips.
Right.
And, you know, frankly, in the world of journalism today, I think a lot of great, I mean, great reporters, people who could absolutely do the job that we did, are limited a little bit by finance. That's
right.
Unfortunate. But yeah, we were lucky. You know, we had a boss who said, you know what, time and money, we'll devote the effort to this as long as you can show us results. And you know, luckily we were able to do that.
When Dave Morgan came in from L.A., did he have any sniff of this? Did he say, wow, where have we been?
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. And it was funny because, you know, I remember the initial conversation and he was just blown away because, as you said, I mean, he's from L.A. and USC was the biggest college program in the country at the time, and there was no bigger athlete and really team than in college sports than USC football and Reggie Bush. And so, yeah, he was kind of floored by it. And you know, the first week, you know, we broke the story, and then the first week we continued for a full week just really hammering on the story and continually trying to break things. And, you know, we kind of went head-to-head with the L.A. Times all week long, and
right.
I think it was, you know, it was interesting for him to walk into that job at Yahoo and literally within a matter of, I think it was less than 3 months, might even have been about two and a half months, he was suddenly going up against his former bosses on a major story. And so it was, yeah, it was interesting. There were a lot of, you know, interesting little backstories to it. And it was, you know, it was a 4-year experience that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
Charles Robinson, senior writer, Yahoo Sports, our guest on Ebling and You. Charles, your reaction to the University of Southern California, the responses they gave, attempts at cover-ups, cooperation, did they want to get to the truth?
You know, no, I mean, initially it was, you know, total resistance. They didn't believe it. You know, I remember we wrote the story initially, and, you know, Mike Garrett, who has since, I think you can say, effectively been fired from his position of athletic director.
Yeah.
I remember when we initially started breaking stories, I remember someone from the USA Today called me and said, you know, a friend I had who works there, and he said, hey, we talked to Mike Garrett today, and we asked him, you know, what do you think of Yahoo's story? And Mike's response was, Yahoo, like as in Y-A-W-H-O question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed because I thought, wow, they're really not taking this seriously. And it wasn't really until, I think, about a year and a half into this process that they actually secured really heavy-hitting outside legal counsel about 18 months after we broke the initial stories and were going at it. And the next thing you knew, they were hiring law firms that were filled with ex-NCAA investigators, ex-NCAA lawyers. And at that point, you know, okay, you know, they know that there's something going on. There might be some serious trouble here. But, of course, during that whole time,
right
up until, I mean, literally the day before the NCAA came out with sanctions, it seemed like there was always a refusal to admit on the part of USC that anything significant had occurred. I mean, literally the day before the sanctions came out, I kind of got into it a little bit with someone who said, you know, oh, I've talked to the coaching staff and I've talked to the athletic department, and they insist this is not going to be serious. And I said, look, flat out, I'm telling you, they're going to get hammered here. This is a big problem.
Well, they had a basketball issue, too, with O.J. Mayo. So
Right. And that was definitely another one of those things that, you know, for a long time, people kept looking at us saying, well, you must have been wrong because the NCAA isn't weighing in on this. And I kept trying to explain to people, no, you have two major investigations. You know, you have a football player in the football program, and then you have a major basketball player, giant recruit in O.J. Mayo.
Right.
And it's, you know, it was just like a perfect storm. So you had these two major investigations. And then, as you know, I mean, once they get into that, it becomes, hey, we're investigating now the whole department, not just, you know, one sport or two sports. It becomes the whole department.
Right. Well, Pete Carroll is now in Seattle. He's 1-0 as an NFL head coach, and he's taking his money. Apparently, he's one guy who's not going to feel many sanctions from this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the only fallout for Pete is that he will, whenever people talk about the USC tenure, this will always be something that will follow him.
Yeah.
You know, people always say, well, you know, yeah, you had a great run at USC, but obviously at the tail end there, you were, you know, there were significant sanctions, and I think people will always wonder, you know, either fairly or unfairly, were you running a clean program? Mm-hmm. Was this more than just Reggie Bush? Was this more than, you know, how widely spread was this? How, you know, how many people knew about what was going on? Did you know? These are questions that will always follow him. But again, as you said, I mean, he got his money, he got out. You know, Tim Floyd had to, you know, had to resign. Mike Garrett was effectively fired. You know, and so really, you know, however he ended up taking that job, whether it was knowing the sanctions were coming or not, it's nice to have a $7 million a year bed to land in. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you raise a very good point. Who knows how many players and how many universities are having similar situations.
Right.
We know that there's been a spate of athlete-agent issues come up, but you can go way back here. You can talk about Florida with all the Tank Black things in 1996 and Javon Kearse. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that Charles Woodson at Michigan accepted more than $10,000 in cash and gifts from an agent while he was at Michigan. That's very well known. It's a matter of public record. And nothing happened to Michigan. The NCAA said it couldn't prove that the university knew anything. Woodson's mother drove a forklift, but as last time I saw, he still had his Heisman.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that it definitely, I think this stance now opens up a question into, well, what about all these other things? And I know Woodson's been brought up prominently, you know, and I think part of that, too, was always that, you know, it was grand jury testimony and it was sealed, and I
right.
guess the NCAA had problems getting to the testimony and whatever. But, you know, I think the interesting thing now, though, is, you know, you've been in this, we've both been in this long enough, and
right.
we know the NCAA's history well enough to know that there was a time, particularly
yep.
in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, when the NCAA wielded a strong fist. You know,
mm-hmm.
they were serious.
Right.
They would come down on programs. And then over the last 20 years, you know, as athletics, the money really skyrocketed, a lot of athletic departments would fend the NCAA off by spending millions on these outside law firms that
right.
were filled with ex-NCAA employees.
Right.
But I think now, you know, I don't know. I believe that USC, this whole thing may have changed their stance. I think they feel like, you know what, we took on this giant law firm. We took on USC. We let them pour millions into their defense, and it didn't matter. And I think now they feel emboldened, and that's part of why we see what we see now with all these agent investigations. Obviously, the University of North Carolina, that's going to end up being a big deal.
Right.
And I think a lot of that has to do with just, hey, now, you know what, they've got the wind at their backs, and I think they're using it.
Yeah, lack of subpoena power and staff shortages. But I think that one of the things that was most important about this case, Charles, is it puts an end to some of the selective prosecutions.
Right.
Jerry Tarkanian at UNLV always used to say that every time Kentucky cheated, they slapped another year of probation on Cleveland State.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, point. Here you've got USC. The brand doesn't get a whole lot bigger than that.
No, absolutely not. And yeah, that is the – and you know what? The thing is, too, I believe if they were ever – and unfortunately, that, particularly with the investigators, the NCAA has no transparency. I mean, they you never really see the investigators talking. You don't see them quoted. You don't know anything about how what their thoughts and feelings are. But I can tell you, there's no doubt that I think they got sick of that you know, that cloud hanging over their head that, hey, you know what, you won't go after the big program.
Right.
You won't go after the cash cows or the USCs or the Notre Dames or the Michigans or, you know, whatever. And frankly, I think they got tired of hearing that. And I think that, you know, when the USC thing came down the pike, that's part of the reason why it took 4 years, because they decided, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to do it all the way. We're going to do it as right as possible. And I don't think a lot of people realize one of the investigators on this, a guy by the name of Richard Johanningmeier, has, I mean, when you talk to coaches, you know, he has a reputation, you know, he's been there, I think, 30 plus years. He has a reputation amongst coaches, particularly old school coaches, of being an unbelievable bulldog as an investigator. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, he was on this case, because they said, you know, we need someone who's going to bring this home. And
right.
So maybe that selective enforcement kind of rap will go to the wayside. We'll see. I mean, there's still time to tell.
Well, Reggie Bush has announced that he is returning his Heisman. It does not appear now this afternoon that there's going to be any change. Vince Young is not going to inherit that Heisman.
Right.
And we'll see what else plays out from this. Our guest, Charles Robinson, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. Charles, can we check in with you again during the NFL season and get an update?
Absolutely. Call me anytime, Jack. I love talking to you.
Sounds great. We'll be right back with more. Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.